Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we're back, folks. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And you're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with the maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of the ways that I know that you have to do that, one of the things that I know you have to do in order to be successful is not just to make sales, but when you make a sale that you collect your money. And we've got a guy that's visiting with us this hour who's going to help you do a better job of that. His name is Lou Molitier. He is Vice President of Marketing for a company out of Metairie, Louisiana called Milliken & Michaels. And we're going to get him to tell us a little bit more about that in a minute, but I want to tell you a little bit more about him. He has an MBA in marketing and MIS from Fairleigh Dickinson University in Madison, New Jersey, and a BS degree in quantitative analysis from the same university. He spent a lot of years with AT&T as a general manager, as a marketing manager and division sales. He also worked for a company more recently as a senior vice president called Comdata Corporation, and he also worked more recently as president of SA Track Intelligence Surveillance Company, but now he works for Milliken Michaels, and at this very moment, he's our special guest for this hour. Lou, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you with us, and we appreciate you spending some time with us. I want you to take a moment and tell us just a little bit about Milliken & Michaels.
Milliken & Michaels is a national commercial debt recovery firm. We have about 750 employees. We operate about 10 centers scattered across the country. Our job is to help businesses collect accounts that become troublesome or the bottom line is they simply won't pay. So clients refer those accounts to us. We assist them in that collection effort.
Okay. Very simple, short and sweet. I like that. Folks, Lou's company, Milliken & Michaels, has got an outstanding book here called The Credit and Collection Handbook, and I want to put at least two of these in your hands. If you extend credit to anyone, even if you're doing a good job with your AR right now, there's a lot of good information in this handbook. Lou, take a moment and give us a little tour of this book.
Sure. We built that book, Jim, for business owners who feel the need to put in place a credit policy and a management policy for their receivables. There are several sections to the book. One of them details the whole credit granting process, what to look for, how to evaluate credit applications, the kinds of things that are important in evaluating credit applications. So it helps a business person better understand the operations of someone that's applying for or asking for credit. So there's one section of the book devoted to simply looking at a business relative to granting them credit. There are several other sections of the book then that, as you said at the beginning of the show, once the sale's made, that's probably the most significant part of what you have to do, but it's truly not a sale until the money comes in and the cash register rings. So,
and the check clears the bank.
And the check clears the bank, absolutely right. So, the second half and probably the bulk of the book is geared toward helping a business establish a credit management a collections policy where they can look at the receivables, and we have what's called the time and event sensitive process where based on actions or the lack of actions of their customer, they can determine whether the business with whom they're dealing is either a customer of theirs or is becoming a debtor, and then how to go about putting in place the letters and the programs that help them better manage that receivable.
Mm-hmm.
For example, part of the book includes scripts so that when you're on the phone with a customer of yours that isn't paying, there are a couple of things that you might say to help nudge them towards sending that money in, and it describes how to go about saying the right kinds of things to get someone to send you a check.
Exactly. And folks, there are a lot of great, it's a pretty thick book, and it's well written, it's well done. There's one section in here called The Art of Collection, The Collector as a Psychologist, and a Collector as an Effective Listener, and on and on. There are the do's and don'ts of collecting. There are types of customers and debtors. There's telephone collection tips. There's a lot of great information in here, and you guys basically give this book away, don't you?
Well, we normally charge for the book, but
what do you charge?
Usually it's about $100.
$100.
Yeah, we charge for that book, but we'd like to make it available to your listeners this morning.
All right, so we can give two away this hour, then, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great, folks. You heard that. I'm not going to read. I'm not going to review the trivia questions. You should have been paying attention. But if you want a copy of this book, give me a call, and if you don't remember the trivia questions, I'll repeat them to you, and you can give it a try. 888-822-8255. Let's go back and talk about how to build a sound accounts receivable collection program. Lou, talk to us about that.
Sure. Let me start by giving you just some general information in terms of accounts and what it means when an account ages. We have something that we call the collectability of an account, and what that means is that over time, for a lot of different reasons, the likelihood of collecting an account diminishes. For example, after 3 months, the likelihood of collecting an account drops to about 72%. I'm quoting some numbers that are industry averages, which means that it includes all industries, and like any other average, it varies certainly by industry and by product or service. But in general, after 3 months, the likelihood of collecting an account is about 72%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's down from about 93% after 30 days. But more importantly, when you get to 6 to 9 months, you're going to find that it's very difficult to collect an account that is 180 to 210 days past due.
Now are we talking about people who have not done business with you since that credit was extended?
Well, no, it could be individuals that have done business
continue
with you.
Continue to do business with you.
Correct, but...
Yeah. Lou, stand by for just a second. We've got to take a break. That's our music. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. I'm very interested in this, folks. I have small businesses, and I extend credit to people, and I hope you're paying attention to this. There's some really good information that Lou's going to give us right now and in the rest of the hour. 888-822-8255. That's our phone number. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend Lou Malachier. He's Vice President of Marketing for Milliken & Michaels. They're a company that specializes in helping you collect your receivables. They do it professionally. It's how they make a living, and they're available by calling this number. Lou, what is your number?
They can call 800-735-6008, and I will get them in touch with someone that can assist them.
All right, and do you have a website?
We do. They can reach me at Lou M at Milliken Michaels. There's no and in between there, but
L-O-U-M
at Milliken, M-I-L-L-I-K-E-N, Michaels is in the man's name,
right.
.com.
Okay. MillikenMichaels.com, and that's the website, and that's also his email. And, hey, stand by. I know what I want to do. I want to spell your name, Lou. I had a caller a while back to say, you know, Jim, whenever you have someone who has an unusual name, you need to spell it.
Okay.
I don't spell Baker or Smith when I have those guys on, but somebody told me I need to spell it, so I'm going to spell your name. Folks, his name is spelled M-O-L-E-T-T-I-E-R-E. Pronounce it for us, Lou.
It's Molitier.
Molitier. All right, I like that name. It sounds good. And Lou, Chuck tells me we have a caller or
okay.
two. Chuck, we got? We got somebody that we haven't heard from before?
Sure do. Alan, Silver Spring, Maryland.
Alan. Hi, Alan.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the show.
Well, glad to be on.
Thank you for calling. Say hello to Lou.
How you doing, Lou?
Good morning, Alan.
What's going on in Silver Spring, Maryland? I've been there before. It's a beautiful place.
It is a neat place. Maryland's a great state.
Yeah.
American miniature. Listen, I called because I was listening this morning, and I wanted to take a shot at your trivia questions. You wanted to know whether they were too easy or too hard.
What do you think, Alan? Are my questions too hard?
like everything else in life, Jim, the ones you know are easy. The ones you don't know are hard.
I've had people call me and say that they thought my questions were too hard, and one guy called and said they thought they were too easy.
Yeah.
And I guess when I don't get anybody to call, maybe I think they're too hard. But
well, I got two out of three. I mean, I third one I don't have a clue on.
All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you take the one you think is the toughest one. I'm just going to let you answer one because I want to save the others for someone else. What do you think is the most difficult one?
The Bette Midler one.
But you think that's the hardest one?
Yeah.
You don't know that one, right?
I don't know that one.
Okay, well, we're going to let somebody else. Somebody else will help us with that one. But what's the one you like?
Well, Charlene Tilton, I know that she was on Dallas.
Good for you. That's it. That's the easy one. Alan,
well,
I thought you'd go for the easier. Okay, well, don't say that one.
Okay, I won't.
You sound like you might be of the generation that would remember that.
Oh, definitely.
Mary Martin. Yeah. Wasn't that great? Yeah, I really enjoyed her in that role. But we're not going to talk about that. Have you got any questions for Lou?
Not really.
Tell us about
you. Actually, I'm just a new listener to the station. Just kind of picked it up surfing around here a week or so ago.
You're listening to WMET 1150 out of Gaithersburg.
You got it.
Yeah, they're a good show, good radio station up there. They
right.
do a great job. And Sandra and Glenn and all the folks up there, they do a great job. I really appreciate them. We've got a great audience there in the D.C. area because of them. And what do you do for a living, Alan?
I'm an educator. I work for the public school system.
I see. All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, Lou's book, if you're an educator, Lou's book probably wouldn't help you much, would it?
I don't really. I was just listening to Ken right before Lou, the 300 incredible things on the internet is something I'd really love because I've just started into internet investing here very recently.
Stay tuned and give Chuck your address, and I'll make sure you get a copy of Ken's book.
Very good.
All right, sounds good. Alan, thank you very much. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you later. All right, Chuck, I think we got another one. Lou, stand by. Who we got, Chuck?
Yep, we're going to stay in Maryland and talk to Jerry, who's in Bethesda.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
All right. I've been to Bethesda, too. That's a beautiful part of the world also.
Oh, that's a great place. I happen to know Sandra and Glenn very well. I have my own show on Friday mornings here.
Oh, is that right? Well, great.
Hey, let me just say this. There's always a positive side to businesses, and when we have guests on the air, and I do that myself, I allow entrepreneurs to come on and talk about their businesses.
Uh-huh.
And with the collection agencies, I think that, I've dealt with Michelson's before and other agencies who have come collecting from me. I'm a successful businessman. I've been in business 20 years. I had a very unfortunate experience in April of this past year, and people probably recognize my voice who are listening here on WMET and know about that. I was basically put out of business by the United States government, or actually voluntarily went out of business. And Glenn's probably listening, and he's probably smiling right now. But I'm back on the air, back in business. Collection agencies have a tendency to be boiler room, in a sense. I hate to say that. I know the music's coming on.
Stand by. Yeah, stand by, Jerry. We'll have to take a quick break. Folks, we're going to be right back after these messages. It's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Lou Molitier from Milliken & Michaels, and we're going to be right back. Our number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, heroes. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Lou Molitier. He's the Vice President of Marketing for a company called Milliken & Michaels. They're a company who help companies collect their receivables. And we have a caller on the line. His name is Jerry, and he's out of the Maryland area and listening over WMET 1150. And Jerry, Let me just say something here. One of the things that Jerry brings up, folks, that I think is important is there are, for every small business owner who is out there extending credit and maybe having problems collecting money from their customers, there may be a small business owner, as many small business owners, who are in that in the other side of the coin. There are the ones who have had credit extended to them, and they're now having difficulty paying that back, and they're being faced with a collection company. Now, Jerry, what I'd like for you to do is, it sounds to me like maybe that's the situation you got yourself in, and I'd like for you to ask your question of Lou now. Go ahead.
Lou, can a small businessman like me offer a compromise, a settlement? I'm not one who wanted to be out of business or have a snowballing effect, but when something happened to me where all of a sudden my clients all of a sudden did not pay me, it causes me to have a domino effect in not paying you, in a sense. And then your client calls you up and says, "Hey, go collect from me." And I'm in a quandary where I just need time. Sometimes I find credit companies don't know how to respond to the pain of a businessman. So can you maybe expand on that? Like, what can I do beside from just going into bankruptcy? And is there any way that I could talk reasonably to a credit company or to my original vendor that might extend me some more time rather than the tactics of credit collection, which can be, can get into a business mess?
Jerry, that's an excellent question. Lou, what do you think?
Well, I think Jerry's absolutely right, and there are things that a small business person who is being pursued can and should do. First of all, I think to address his, the first part of his question, there are, and the agency should, accept and talk to any business in the form of a settlement. I think that there's really two aspects to it. One is, what should the small business person or the business person that's on the receiving end of a collection call, what should they do, what should they expect, and how can they take action when they think that they're being treated in an unfair or unprofessional manner? So that's one side of it. And then the other side is the agencies that are out there, what does a business that wants to go out and hire an agency, what should they look for? So I think there's two parts of it. Let me address the first question that Jerry asked regarding what they should do. If you're in a position where you're interested and you want to stay in business, and by the way, the better commercial agencies have a goal of helping them protect their clients. In other words, an agency should be working with a business to help keep a customer because they're difficult to come by. But if you're on the receiving end of a call, the agency should be professional in its demeanor in terms of what they ask for. They should be attempting to understand the business's problem and what the likelihood of some sort of payout or recovery or willingness to work with that company, what the willingness is to work with them. So, in other words, they're trying to determine whether they're willing and just unable to pay or whether they're unwilling and unable to pay. Businesses that are both willing but unable to pay, there should be some compromise that says, hey, look, let's work a settlement out. Let's keep the guy in business, because the fact of the matter is that in Jerry's case, the companies that were pursuing him for their monies probably got very little because he went into liquidation. So I think everyone lost in that kind of a
That's not exactly the way it is. I had called all these different agencies around the country had called me, and what I had done is I didn't go into liquidation. I said to them, I have X amount of dollars, and this is what I can afford percentage-wise to pay each of you until I get back on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And what? And they refused that?
Some wondered it. Some told me, how am I going to pay my debts? It's very difficult when you're sitting out there as a businessman, and your business has gone from like 100% to 20% of what you're capable of doing. And you've got debts that you projected. Every business works on projections.
But now, Jerry, it sounds to me, and you mentioned this a minute ago, you said that you had people who didn't pay you.
That's correct.
And so you make the point that you, in saying that, you make the point of why I feel that it's important to have this kind of discussion on the show, because perhaps if, there's somebody out there listening who is in the process of extending credit, as you apparently did, and maybe some of the information that we're talking about this hour will help them to do a better job of extending credit so that they don't get into a situation like that.
Let me just say this. The collection agency is always the last guy on the totem pole of what a businessman thinks about when he's make extending credit. And all I'm trying to say is there are two sides to every coin. There's one where Lou is collecting on his side. And I know he's got a big firm because I've had calls from their firm. And then on the other side, on my side, in this particular case, because I've been on the side where I've hired the guys like Lou to go after some of my creditors, but the businessman has to look at both sides.
Yeah, exactly. Jerry, thank you for your call, and I appreciate that, and I wish you the best of luck.
Good. I'll be back.
Thank you, sir. Stay in touch. All right, folks, we're going to be right back with our friend Lou Malachere. He's Vice President of Marketing from Milliken & Michaels. We're talking about collecting money. And it apparently, it strikes a nerve. 888-822-8255. If you'd like to weigh in on this discussion, give us a call. That's what we're here for. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. And we're visiting with Lou Malatier. He's our new friend, and he is the Vice President of Marketing for Milliken & Michaels, basically a collection company, but they do more than just collect money, folks, for their clients. They also try to educate. They do educate. They've written an outstanding book that is available. We're going to try to give a couple of those away. I'm not sure if we're going to be successful today, but Lou's going to be back with us, and we're going to continue this series on making sure that you collect your receivables. But, you know, Lou, Jerry, our last caller, really highlighted something that I'm sure everybody knows, and that is that when you do your job, everybody is not happy, right?
That's right.
I mean, your clients are happy when you do your job, but their former customers probably are not. But it's not your fault. You're just doing your job, and if there's any fault to blame, it is the fault of the – any fault to apply – it is the fault of your client, maybe, who did not perform good credit management policies, and it's the fault of the other side of the table, the debtor, because they bought more than they could pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they didn't have good credit policies.
Well, it's interesting, Jim. I think that businesses get themselves into trouble for a variety of reasons. More often than not, it's lack of capital to keep their business running and expanding.
Mm-hmm.
But they also get into trouble because of the wrong product at the wrong time, the wrong demographics for the market that they're in, or for the lack of management in terms of their own credit policies, as I think was the case that Jerry was describing.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, another big thing is a lot of people in small business, especially when they're young, their business is young, and their small business experience is not very significant, they believe that if they're growing, that they must be successful. And growth takes working capital. And you can't out-profit growth. I mean, if most of the time, most people can't make enough profit to fund the growth just with those profits.
Well,
they think that they're being successful just because they're growing, and that's another example of when people get into trouble with the credit that's extended to them.
Well, I think you're right. I think there's really three aspects to it. I think growth, which is the one that you hit on, is absolutely key because cash keeps coming in, and as you expand your business, you need additional resources. So when you start to think about that equation, even if you're operating at a 30% profit margin, you still have to have 70% of the investment to go get the 30%. So as you grow, you need more and more 70% each month.
Right.
So the growth is a critical aspect, but there's two others, I believe. One is that particularly in businesses that are growing or developing, you tend to develop relationships with businesses, and you just don't want to in any way upset that relationship.
Yeah.
And it's hard at times, but small business people, when I speak to them, and I just spoke recently to a group in Florida, their concern is, well, gee, I don't want to alienate this customer. And that's true. You don't want to alienate the customers, but there are steps that you need to take to protect your own interest, or you get into a circumstance that, unfortunately, Jerry got into.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, of course, is the credit policies and how you go about implementing them and what you do. It's important that you take the time and the effort to watch and measure where a business is relative to paying you on time or partial payments or skipping payments, disputing late, those kind of things start to tip you off that maybe the business is getting into a little bit of trouble.
Well, that's so true, and I'll tell you, that's the reason why I wanted to have this discussion on the show. That's the reason why I'm inviting you, and you've accepted to come back, and folks, Lou is going to be back with us. We're going to we're starting a short series on credit policies, collection policies, on understanding how not to get in trouble with your customers with their AR, and how to not get in trouble yourself with that. You know, there's a lot of problems could be solved if everyone had a good collection program. I mean, good collection program.
We'd love to have businesses not need us. In fact, we work to kind of eliminate our jobs, so to speak.
Well, I agree with you. I see what you mean. You know, another thing that I think Jerry brought up our caller a minute ago that I know you agree with me on, and that is that all agencies are not the same.
Well, they're not. There are approximately 6,000 agencies in the U.S.
6,000?
6,000, yes. And most of them are very small operations, one, two, three people that go out and attempt to collect on behalf of other businesses. The problem that occurs is that it doesn't take a great deal to get into to this kind of an industry. A telephone, a fax machine.
And an attitude, maybe.
Pardon me?
And an attitude.
And an attitude. and part of the attitude problem is what really gives the industry a bad name. But it doesn't take much to get in, and you put a computer in, and you're automated in a little PC. So.
Well, and with 6,000 operators out there, the level of professionalism is going to be all over the landscape, isn't it?
And the smaller the operation, the more rigorous they tend to become.
Exactly. All right, folks, it's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to be right back with our new friend Lou Malatier, Vice President of Marketing for Milliken & Michaels. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our new friend, Lou Malatier. He's Vice President of Marketing for a company called Milliken & Michaels. They specialize in helping businesses collect their receivables. But one of the things they do that I really like a lot is they work to educate people about how to do a better job of extending credit, how to do a better job of collecting your money, and how to make sure that there's as little conflict as possible. Lou, I know that's one of the things you like. Nobody likes conflict.
Well, that's true. In fact, Jim, our philosophy is to attempt to restore or to maintain the bond, the commercial bond between our clients and their clients. So we work diligently at treating our clients' clients in a most professional way so that they can continue to do business with them.
Collect the money and keep the customer.
Absolutely. That's absolutely our goal.
Yeah, that's great. Before we wind up the hour here, tell our audience again how they can contact you and a little bit more about that.
Well, they can reach our company and reach me at 800-735-6008. If they ask for me, I'll get on the phone with them and find out where they're at, what some of their needs are, and I'll get them in touch with one of our offices that can go to work for them. We can talk a little bit about what they'd like to have happen and so on.
How many offices do you have?
We have 7 sales offices. We're across the nation from Philadelphia to Portland, Oregon to Tucson, Arizona to Metairie, Louisiana.
But you do business everywhere, not just in those 7 places.
We're international.
Right.
We do business throughout the world in all 50 states.
If they've got a phone number or they can get online or whatever, they can contact you, right?
They can contact us, and we'll be glad to go to work for them.
All right, that sounds good. We just got a minute or two now, Lou, as we wrap up the hour. Give us any closing comments, any thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience before next time.
Sure. I think, you know, and it's relative to Jerry's concern and question, and I would encourage your listeners who are about to do business with an agency. You know, I mentioned there's 6,000 of them out there, Jim. I think it's important that you get an agency that's going to represent you well. And there are some things that you can ask about the agency when you call them. Some very basic things, for example, is the money placed in a trust account. The commercial business is such that when commercial agencies fail, it's because most often than not they're not maintaining a good trust account.
So they're just collecting the money and maybe using it.
Well, they put it into what's called an operating account, and then the next thing you know, they're paying people, and you know they can't pay their clients.
It's called commingling.
Absolutely.
At first, it's called commingling.
At first,
then it's called grand theft.
That's right. And there's some other aspects to it. Are they registered and licensed to do business in the states that they're operating in? Many states have licensing requirements. Are they licensed? If they're not licensed and registered, that ought to tip you off that they're not doing what they ought to do. And, mm-hmm. and lastly, do they have some sort of a compliance program? How do they treat their collectors? How do they treat their salespeople? And what are their expectations of them? Are they measured? Are they controlled? Are they monitored? They're all different aspects of the
But you have, there are quite a few reputable companies like Milken and Michaels out there. I know you compete very, very, in a very productive way with those guys.
Absolutely. There are a number of quality commercial debt recovery firms out there, and I would encourage the listeners to talk to them and make a choice
and compare.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Lou, thank you very much. Looking forward to having you back. Folks, he's going to be back with us next week. We're going to continue this series. Lou, thank you very much, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, folks, that's Lou Malachere with Milken and Michaels. I got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.